From the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network, it's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, your host, being brought to you here on the Michigan Talk Network by Lucky Buck Deer Mineral out of Osseo, Michigan, Darton Archery out of Hale, Michigan, a couple of our fine sponsors, along with HHA Sports out of Wisconsin, and we've got our friends at Costa Sunglasses helping us out. The MUCC been doing a great job with us this year, and all our podcasts are being brought to you by CarnivoreClub.co. There is a link on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. You can link right to Carnivore Club. Check out their cool stuff that they do. Some artisanal, love that word, meats, cheeses brought right to your door. You can get yourself an order. You maybe want to just sample it out, or maybe get yourself in on the Meat of the Month Club type offer that they have. Wild Michigan is your promo code for 15% off. I highly encourage you to check it out because it is cool stuff. Lots of fine quality meats and cheeses brought right to your door, courtesy of Carnivore Club. Going to speak with Doug Roberts, the deer professor. I know between he and Lance Valentine, they've been on the show a lot lately, but because there are a couple of topics here in Michigan that are probably pretty helpful. We talk with Lance about walleye. We talk with Doug about deer. We're in bow season. As I mentioned earlier in the show, it seems October just kind of happened. It's like all of a sudden we are in the middle of October. I don't know what happened, but Doug, welcome back to the show, sir.
Oh, thank you, Duran. Glad to be back.
And it's a busy time, but Doug, right about now, it seems about duck season. Maybe I'm just crazy. About, you know, the first third of this month, you know, we get out and we hunt, and then things just kind of slow down. What's kind of commonly referred to as the October lull takes place for deer.
Yep, it's just starting to come in, you know, and Duran, really the October lull, from what I've watched, is, you know, the bucks, the bachelor groups are splitting up. They found their territories now, and they're just kind of hunkering down, really kind of getting used to those territories that each one of those have. Now, you'll still see some younger bucks moving that don't have territories, but, you know, they got their winter coats on, the acorn crop has dropped, so they're living underneath the acorn trees. They just don't have to move as much because of the cooler temperatures, and they've found their home range now for the breeding season. So it kind of creates that lull that they're just not seeing that long-distance movement from all these bucks that have been happening for the last, you know, month and a half.
Now, I know we've had some warmer temperatures, and, you know, you said it, Tom Nelson has said it. You know, picture putting on the big fur coat and with 70 degrees or 60 degrees. You're not going to want to move.
No, I always tell people, you know, they have to move. You know, like when we watch our deer, they do move. They move shorter distances, and they move at the coolest time of the day, and that happens to be in the middle of the night. And that is just because they overheat so quickly. So, you're right. It's that those warm temps really can cause problems. They just have to keep that body temperature down, so they literally move less. So the cooler temperatures we can have, the more activity you are going to have. But the hunters now are going to have to find, you know, the bucks that they're choosing to hunt. They've got to find those areas, the territories that those bucks have marked out if they're going to want to see them.
Speaking of Doug Roberts here from Conquest Sense, we call him the deer professor for many reasons. Doug, you know, somebody would probably, maybe they're asking, maybe they're not asking, I don't know. Let me bring this question to mind. Doug, you work with deer on a farm, in a farm facility, but how does that compare to deer in the wild? You know what I mean? How can we look at that and go, these patterns are essentially the same?
Well, we're a little unique in the sense that we don't have any bottle feds. In other words, their natural instincts are all there. Ours just happen to be fence smart. They know where the perimeter fences are, and they normally stay off those. But the patterns that they have with the natural instincts all go according to the weather. So, you know, if I see our deer up and eating, it's amazing. If I go out behind the farm, I find the wild deer up and eating. If we see ours hunkered down, but if a front's coming in, there's no sense really going out hunting because the wild deer have now hunkered down and they're waiting for it. They have that internal barometer that just, you know, a lot of people call it that sixth sense, that they can see things coming sometimes days before it even occurs. But for 20-some years, I've watched the deer on our farm, and it mimics exactly what's happening out in the wild because we haven't bottle-fed them and taken them those natural instincts away.
And, you know, and that's important, too. I mean, just for us to hear that, I mean, I think it might give people a better sense of, you know, of where this information is coming from. You live with deer 24/7 with about 200 of them. And, you know, it's a pretty laborious task to do what you do. But, again, you see things that on a daily basis that we just don't.
Well, it's like this morning, you know, when I got up, and again, our house is unique, that I can look out of any window and I can see the deer on the farm. We sat in the middle of it, and everybody was bedded down by 10 to 8. Everybody had fed and was done and bedded down, and so I kind of headed out around, and all of the wild deer were gone. There was no movement anymore. So, again, if they're still up and moving, normally the wild deer, and we'll see them occasionally outside the fence from a distance. So it's really been amazing how consistent and pattern, you know, the patterns have been very much the same. So
yeah,
a lot of guys come to the farm or go past the farm to see what our deer are doing to know what they have to do hunting. It's kind of comical.
Well, if you see a drone floating around your area, it's got nothing to do with me. I mean, I don't even know how to fly those things.
you know, they'll we've, you know, of course with the TV show, we've driven some drones over top of them, and it's quite amazing how they react to it. You know, a lot of them don't, it doesn't bother them at all, and then all of a sudden you'll get one that'll look up, you know, because it sounds like a big beehive.
Sure.
You know, the smaller ones don't seem to bother them too bad, but the bigger ones that make more noise, man, they get out of town in a hurry.
Yeah, I can imagine. I could see where that would just, you know, you got this giant thing, you know, flying around, and then it just kind of hovers there, and you know, they don't know. They don't have that ability to disseminate information like we do, and it's probably a doggone good thing because their noses are plenty.
Well, they don't, you know, and they have no danger from above unless they're trained, you know, and I've talked with hunters, and they say, you know, my gosh, you know, the deer in the area we hunt, especially public land, they're walking through the woods looking at all the trees, you know, up in the trees. Well, those deer have been trained that there's danger from up in those trees.
Mm-hmm.
Natural deer, I mean, the normal deer does not have any fear of anything from above, so has no reason to look up other than curiosity on a sound or seeing something. So, you know, it's a big advantage for hunters if you can keep them from learning to look in trees.
Exactly, and you know, maybe moving the stand around a little bit probably wouldn't hurt much either, but I kind of like my spots.
You know, that is the normal hunter's biggest downfall. They find their favorite spot, they find that favorite blind, that tree stand, and really don't want to move it. And the deer pattern that blind, they can tell when you're in it, when you're not in it, looking at it from a distance. You know, if you want to leave that stand there, put another stand up someplace else and catch the deer off guard. They do have memories. They do learn patterns again. Actually, I had a guy that, same thing, would not move his stand. I said, fine, leave it there.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, put a mannequin, just dress a mannequin up, put it up in that tree stand, put it on the other side of your food plot, put up a blind, and I tell you, that buck's going to look, oh, he's there, he's going to come to your side and not know you're there, and sure enough, he shot the deer.
Nice. Doug Roberts joining us here on Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.
Hi, this is Larry Wyson, and you're listening to Wild Michigan with Duran Martinez.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, your host on the Michigan Talk Network. Website, wildmichiganradio.com. You can find a link to Doug Roberts, the Deer Professor, and Conquest Sense, also the TV show Conquest 200. Back again, back for another season, man. Very happy to hear that. Doug, let's talk a little bit, a little farther into the season as we are coming in through late October into the November. Rut activity. I've been seeing a few scrapes. I've been seeing a little bit of rub activity. Okay, not a lot, which I know they maintain scrapes throughout the year. But as we get later into the year, this is when things are going to start picking up as we get towards November, and maybe our scent choices, we're really going to have to probably start thinking about using them as we get closer to the rut area.
Yeah, right now you're going into the second half of October. So, again, the bucks have kind of started defining their territory, so they're going to start making their scrapes, their territorial scrapes. So now is a good time, like with our products, Evercalm and actually rutting buck, because they're going to start pushing all the bucks out of their area. So if you can put a new buck in there, especially a buck decoy, those become very, very effective. But once you get to the end of October, then you want to start switching over to an estrus scent, VS1, because now if you can be the first doe that comes into heat, all the bucks are looking for that, and they're very aggressive toward that because they're full of energy. They're ready for that rut to begin. So you got 2 weeks here where I really believe the rutting buck and the Evercalm combo works good with a buck decoy. Then come November, I switch over to a doe decoy with VS1 and Evercalm.
Doug Roberts is our guest here. Of course, Conquest Sense. We've been using them since the day we met, Doug, and the Evercalm. Very worthwhile. I mean, a million different ways you can use it as an attractant, as a cover, as a curiosity scent. All of those things in one stick.
Yeah, it's Evercalm is one of those. Again, we found it by just a fluke, but it does everything, and it's all season long. It calms the deer, it attracts the deer, makes them feel safe. It masks human odor enough that they feel safe around it, even if they smell you, because it's real deer smells that are there. So if there's other deer there, I have to be safe there. So it's a very unique scent. First ever calming scent, and it really does just make the deer feel at ease when they smell it, and a deer at ease is much easier to hunt and kill than one that's really wound up and on edge.
Absolutely. Doug Roberts is our guest here. Doug, let's talk about some of the myths coming up about the rutting time. We've heard a lot of talk from hunters, old school guys and been around a while, that once a buck is bed down with does, he's not going anywhere. Well, he's got to go somewhere.
Well, they do. The cycle is unique. In fact, we're doing a segment on our TV show. I don't know what episode, but, once the doe starts to come in, for those couple days that she's starting to come in, the buck will take her and force her off somewhere where they have privacy. And he'll hold her in that area, and she'll be willing to stay there. Well, then she comes in the heat. Well, that cycle's 12 to 24-hour period where she's really receptive, and he'll breed her during that time. Then you still have another day or two where he will protect her from other bucks breeding her, so he knows that he'll have her bred before he releases her. So you're looking at potentially a 4 to 5 day window, three at the shortest, that buck's going to be bedded down and not really moving. Now, they'll have a place, there'll be water there, there'll be a minimal food source there, but it's not going to be the normal place where you would normally find that buck being, and that is because he's pushed that doe to that place, so no other buck will be around.
Now, finding that place, I mean, you don't want to disrupt that area with your presence, but finding that place, what type of signs are we looking for?
There's really no signs. Just over the years, even like in our breed pens, our bucks will force those does into a little wood thicket, or they'll force them down into a corner of one of the pens away from everybody else, up behind farm barns, little cattail areas. And I'm talking, you can say, 20 foot by 20 foot little pine groves up around houses and buildings, places that just you would look at it and go, you know, it ain't worth walking over there because nothing's going to be there. That's where they'll be hidden. The places you think they'll be, yeah, the younger bucks will be there, other does will be there that aren't cycling in. But the does that come in and the bigger bucks, they're going off to some place where you just would not normally think a deer would be. Open fields, tall grass, right out in the middle of an open field for days.
Doug Roberts is joining us here on Wild Michigan, wildmichiganradio.com. You can get a link to Conquest Sense. Also pick up our podcast brought to you by Carnivore Club. Doug, let me talk about moon phase. Is it a myth and something that we've, you know, put too much thought into over the years, or does it really have an effect?
No, absolutely has an effect. The moon phases definitely have an effect. It's what helps tell them. The gravity pull in the moon phase actually tells them and helps them with the seasons, the cycling of the does coming in, testosterone levels of the bucks. It works on all of those things. There is a new thing I would actually train. I don't know if I even told you. A thing called a moon guide. And actually, Adam Hayes and a friend of his actually own it. And I have been studying that moon guide, watching our deer on the farm, and comparing it to what that is saying. And right now, it is 100% on.
Wow.
It has been dead on every single day. And it tells you the best days to hunt and the worst days to hunt. It tells you if it's better in the morning or better in the evening for activity. And it's been extremely consistent with the deer on our farm. And understand, we have bucks of all ages. We have does of all ages. We have breed pens. We have bucks that are in pens just with other bucks. It's been consistent with all of them. And again, it's all based on the moon phases.
Interesting. You know, and that's something that, you know, if we don't do the research, we don't know. And yep. And to, you know, now that you've brought that up, I'm digging to find a next guest and to get him on here.
Yeah, it's, you know, and it's just one of those things that, you know, he's always, you know, Adams, you know, he's shot 3 200-inch whitetails. I mean, he hunts big stuff, and he all three of them have been shot on what they call red moons, and this is what this shows you and tells you. And yeah, I've always known that the moon has had something to do with it, but I've really been studying it lately, even for our own breeding purposes here on the farm when we do our artificial insemination. If we can combine that, we get better conception rates. So we're using it in many, many facets.
Well, I appreciate that information. And, you know, if in the next couple of weeks, if you hear from Adam Hayes on this show, you'll know where it came from. Because as we speak, I'm Googling and searching and typing. And, you know, so it's the more places we can get good, solid information, when we get a lead from you, believe me, we're going to take it. And, you know, it really helps all of us, no matter what. No information hidden does anybody any good.
You know, you're right. And raising deer, a lot of people go, well, you know, it's deer farms, high fence hunting. We have learned so much about the whitetail because of deer farmers, because of, you know, private hunting ranches. You don't have to like them, but all of the knowledge we're learning, most of it can be applied to free-range whitetail hunting, and it just makes you a better hunter.
All right, Doug Roberts on the Michigan Talk Network.
Hi, this is Larry Weissin, and you're listening to Wild Michigan with Duran Martinez.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Lots of things coming up, of course. Bow season going on in Michigan right now. We've got our HHAs on our crossbows right now and getting put on my new Darton 700. Love that single pin archery. Adjustable on the fly, single pin, HHASports.com, sponsor of Wild Michigan. Very happy to have them on board. Also, our podcasts are being brought to you by Carnivore Club, the meat of the month club, if you will. We discovered them here. Actually, they discovered us a couple of months ago. We had a box sent to our house. We got the biltong meats. Very, very interesting. And what surprised me was the lack of ingredients in the process of their meats and how kind of, you know, special they are, for lack of a better term. And I've got Tim Ray from Carnivore Club here joining me on Wild Michigan. Tim. Welcome back, man. It's been a little while. And again, I apologize for my voice. I'm a wreck today. But, you know, after talking with these guys at Camp Liberty, I got nothing to complain about.
But, exactly. But well, scratchy voices, count your blessings.
Yeah, absolutely. Every day we do that. And, you know, we got the biltong beef, the South African style of jerky, several different styles of that. And a friend of mine, Deborah Hart, that works at the classic rock station that I work at also, she's, you know, our yogi, our foodie type person. And it was really funny. She's like, she looks at the jerky and she kind of makes that face. You know, I'm like, no. Look at the ingredients on the back. And it was like meat, salt, spices. It was like three or four ingredients.
Yeah.
And, you know, to see her face light up, it's like, oh my gosh, this is possible?
Yeah, it's the real stuff. It's, you know, it's like that biltong, especially that slab, it's just like a dry cured steak. You know, really just a lot of goodness, not a lot of filler or extra crap that like you get at the gas station.
Yeah, no kidding. I'm glad you said that because that's exactly what happened the other day. I picked up some and I'm looking at the back. I'm going, nope, can't do it. I don't care if it's cherry, turkey, jerky, or whatever it is you want to call it. You kind of spoiled me with this, and I want to know how this all started with Carnivore Club because, you know, the artisanal meat thing, it may scare people, but what we wanted to do is enlighten people to not only how good for you it is, but how really good it is.
Yeah, you know what? There is just, you know, a lot of really talented people, you know, across the states that make just really cool like organic and just like free range style meats, from, you know, their own invention on chorizo to their own interpretation on, you know, like a prosciutto or dry cured ham. You know, luckily we have so many different nationalities and a lot of multiculturalism that we get to have a lot of the taste of the world produced right in our, you know, our backyard. So for, you know, example, you know, that biltong that you had is, you know, authentic South African biltong, but it's made in New Jersey by a guy that, you know, emigrated here, you know, about a dozen years ago. So, you know, really lucky to have just some, you know, really authentic, you know, taste of the world, but, you know, really supporting also our local economy.
And that's very important, too. I mean, the fact that you could have, because we have become that way, where you can have all of these different flavors from all over the country, but still made right here in the U.S. And of course, you're from Canada and you know, our neighbors to the north, if you will. But we all pretty much have the same desire to try something different and unique. And this is definitely that.
Yeah. You know, and we, you know, Carnivore Club, you know, I really approach this business really as a fan. I just like, I love, you know, wine, I love beer, I love cheese, I love whiskey, I love, you know, and I love meat. And I know that, you know, like every guy, everybody has their secret recipe and their, you know, their own unique way of doing things. And, you know, just like you'd have, you know, a lot of different wheat beers or pilsners or lagers or, you know, cab sauv for wine, you know, everybody has a unique way that they'd want to, you know, perfect that recipe. And so you get tons of different tastes and variety from all different producers. So it's the same thing with meat. And I thought, you know, what a great idea to have just like really cool packaging and have, you know, different meats from all different around, from all different like styles of meats from, you know, all across the country delivered to people's doors. And really as kind of like this, you know, meat discovery of, you know, bringing the recipes of these like, you know, quote unquote, like meat geniuses, you know, to your door and getting to have all the goodness without having to work to find them.
You know, it's funny. We're speaking with Tim Ray from Carnivore Club here on Wild Michigan. Our website is wildmichiganradio.com. You can pick up the Carnivore Club podcast because you guys are sponsoring the podcast right now. But trying to convincing me to try something new is very simple, very easy. But a lot of my friends, you know, we have a very blue collar state here in Michigan. Convincing them, you know, to try something unique sometimes, and I'm just speaking of my own friends, I'm not speaking of everybody, it can be difficult because they're like, no, this is how I've had it for all these years and this is how I want it. Well, no, it's trying to break that plane can be difficult sometimes.
Yeah, you know, we definitely run into that a lot, you know, people, you know, they get into their comfort zone and they don't really want to branch out a lot. But we're really just we're trying to develop a bit of a cult following of people that just love discovering new things. You know, if you just like bologna and cheese, then by golly, good on you. But that's not what we're about. We're all about finding like everything from alligator jerky to, you know, water buffalo bresaola to, you know, duck pepperoni. You know, like things that just, you know, sound really cool that you just can't get at your local supermarket.
You know, and I'm glad you brought that stuff up, because that, to me, you duck pepperoni, that never would have entered my mind. That is awesome.
Yeah, yeah. There's actually in our upcoming Christmas box, which you're going to get your hands on, there's going to be this really cool a duck salami, a venison salami, a white truffle, and a black truffle salami from a really cool company in California, which is actually run by a guy that actually emigrated from France and has brought his, you know, old world recipes to the West Coast.
Very, very interesting. You know, it's funny, and I don't know if they listen or not. I'm just going to say it. You know, you drive down the road and you see this great big sign on the next to a building saying alligator jerky. You know what? That's all well and good. You know, or ostrich jerky. The shock value, people want to try that.
Yeah.
But you know, when you put it in an artisan form, I think that's where it gets a little scary for people, because they're afraid of what is something that one might consider middle brow, and it's not the case. You know, we're trying to break the stereotype, like right here on the show live, and let people know how good this meat really is, and why not to, you know, take that time to experience something different.
At the very least, it's a really cool conversation piece when you have people over, or when you're looking for a gift for that guy that really likes his Omaha steak. Gifting that box of meat to that person would definitely create a wow factor, right? So it's really growing, and we're really happy to find these really cool people that produce amazing products. Me personally, because I get all the free samples.
Sure.
And B, get to support them in their small businesses.
You know, this is what I like talking to you about this stuff, because I love food, and I love interesting foods, and I'm looking at charcuterie at what it is, and you know, the cured meats, but you have things as the bacon, the ham, sausage, pâtés, confit, primarily from pork. I'm just reading all this stuff on your website, and to me, that just triggers my mind, and my mouth is going, you know, you really need to experience this.
Yeah. I really started the business as just like a fan. I didn't really even know that much about cured meats, other than the fact that the basics from eating in a lot of restaurants here in Toronto. But as I've gotten into it, you know, I've been literally like, you know, in this month's box.
Hold that thought. We're gonna tease people with this month's box. We're gonna come back. We're gonna talk to Tim Ray. Go to the website wildmichiganradio.com. Place your order with Carnivore Club. Wild Michigan is the promo code. Get 15% off. And I'll say it all better in the next break. It's Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network. Chilling to some skitters, some Mohawk.
This is Nick Munch of Michael Waddell's Bone Collector, and you're listening to my main man, Duran Martinez, on Wild Michigan.
Rifle in a gun rack, hanging in the back glass, buck knife on my belt, ain't no lamp for sale around here.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Duck season opening up this weekend in parts of Michigan. Of course, bow season going on. Very happy to have everybody on here. Thanks so much to our friends at MUCC for supporting Wild Michigan. Also, Carnivore Club, our podcast sponsor. Go to carnivoreclub.co. The link is on our website. You can go right to wildmichiganradio.com at checkout. Wild Michigan, use the promo code for 15% off. And we are speaking with Tim Ray right now, the chief meat eater. I love that title. I'm just radio guy. I don't have a cool name like that. But we were talking off air about about some of the subtleties in some of the meats. I mean, some of the flavors are less pronounced than others. And then when you were talking about the chili bites that were in the last box that we received, and I put myself in your position going, there is no way I could make it out of work. I would eat myself, you know, I'd be like the Tony Montana rule, never get high in your own supply. I'd be stuffing jerky in my mouth every day.
Oh, geez, man. I tell you, I was not paying attention to my exercising last winter. I put on like 20 pounds from all the meat I ate, so I had to really focus this spring to shed it off.
That's funny. Now, before you send it out, what is the process like? Are you getting a bunch of people together saying, okay, let's try this, let's analyze it, let's look at the ingredients, before you put it out to the masses? Because there has to be a level of product research that goes into what you're doing before you decide to stamp the Carnivore Club name on it.
Yeah, you know, it's a really good question. So, you know, we get, thankfully now, we're coming up on our two-year anniversary this November. And, you know, now we've been around for quite a little bit, and we get a lot of people approaching us to want to be featured in Carnivore Club. So, you know, we get the samples in. We kind of talk to them first about, you know, what is unique to them. You know, we don't want people just giving us their same old, you know, sopressata or, you know, just the same old traditional stuff. We want the unique, unusual, and things that you just have never heard of or would never find on your own, in conjunction with some traditional stuff, so that way the people that are probably a little bit more risk adverse do get something that will, you know, appeal to them. But you know, it really comes down to just good old research in me and my partner in our office, you know, cutting up meats with some cheeses, and you know, just having a good time and talking about the products and seeing if we think it will fit within the Carnivore Club theme.
Now, you know, I've spent a life out of radio, buying and selling different forms of antique advertising and things like that. One of the guys that I worked with, you know, you'd meet these guys on the road and stuff. One of the things that he always taught me was never confuse what you like with what you can sell. And yep. That has got to be a very difficult aspect, because you might love something and it might flop.
Mm. You know, I guess that's the, you know, we have a very unique business that way, because, you know, quite literally, for the majority of the people that are getting our box have no idea what's in the box before they get it. You know, it's the surprise component is a huge aspect of Carnivore Club. It's literally, you're trusting that, you know, Carnivore Club, it's like a nice fancy faux wood box, and you're trusting that when you open it, that me and Matt have done a good job of making sure that the meats inside are up to, you know, top-notch standards.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's where we get to be a little bit more adventurous and say, you know what, you might not have bought that, maybe that, you know, rabbit and pork cheek pate that's going to be in this upcoming box on your own. You probably would have walked away right by it, right? But if it's, you know, in the box and you've paid for it, and it's at your kitchen counter, you're definitely going to have a slice or two, and you're probably going to really love it and then eat the rest of it.
Now, wait a minute. Did you just say rabbit and pork cheek pate?
Yeah.
Holy cow, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, really cool. So this upcoming box, we have some really amazing stuff from literally like a phenomenal company in Indianapolis called Smoking Goose Meadery. So right in downtown Indianapolis, and they've invented their own bacon caramel popcorn, which we thought was just too cool not to include. We have the rabbit and pork cheek pate. We have something they call a gooseberry salami. And the fourth thing is escaping me right now because I don't have it in front of me, but I know that. And we have a pork jowl bacon is the fourth item.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so it's a pork jowl as opposed to pork belly. It's got a lot more of a gamier taste to it because it's a, you know, of a more leaner part of the animal, mm-hmm. And it's sliced up just like bacon. It's going to be a real treat.
Man, I tell you, I'm excited about this next box. I mean, I like the last one, but I'm like super excited about this next box. And the one thing I noticed about the website too, carnivoreclub.co, is that it's not, you don't have like this instant deadline by the first of the month to get your order in. It gives you a countdown clock as to, you know, when you can get this box ordered, should you want to get into it. And there's no real commitment to like a lifetime with this, correct?
Yeah, if you just want to buy one box and test it out, you can buy one box, you know, and use the promo code and get a discount. Or, you know, if you like it, you can sign up for, you know, monthly, bi-monthly, quarterly, you know, and you can stop anytime. So we've kind of really catered it to all budget levels, you know, for the people that are getting, you know, they don't make a ton of money, but they, you know, really like the idea of getting this box of cured meats, you know, getting one box every 3 months, $50 every 3 months, you know, it's probably not going to break your bank. And if it's the one thing that's going to treat yourself and you're a foodie, it might be a good investment.
You know, it's cool too, because you can always show off to your buddies, hey, look, I got this water buffalo jerky or this elk or this duck, you know, the duck pepperoni. It's just really, it's still, see, obviously it's still stuck in my head. You know, and or you can hoard it all to yourself, but the one thing I did notice was the lack of preservatives in the meats.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing with all these small producers is that, you know, when you get into all the complicated ingredients and the cornstarch and the nitrates, you know, those are all things that are used by really large corporations to be able to pump out lots of product in a short period of time to make lots of money. You know, those aren't the people that we work with. We work with the small companies that have, you know, maybe a half a dozen to a dozen employees and, you know, only three or four ingredients. And they're really doing it as, you know, a love of, you know, making cured meats and a real pride in what they make, right? They really put a stamp on their own product, which is why that they're so excited to work with the Carnivore Club, because it's their one chance. You know, it's pretty exclusive to work with Carnivore Club. We only work with one company a month. And if they get a chance to be that one company for the entire country for that month, you're damn straight they're going to be putting their best foot forward.
Absolutely. And you know, this is not about shelf life for these products. You know, this is not about mass placement. This is, you know, like it says, it is small batch craft meats that, you know, that... Look, if you've got somebody that's difficult to find for Christmas, I said the word in October, you know, the retailers are way ahead of me. End of September, they're already putting stuff out. But this is where you start buying your presents now and trying to fill that very difficult spot for somebody that's got everything or it's just hard to buy for.
Yeah, or if you're looking to make any vegans angry, you can buy it for them too.
Well, we like making vegans angry around here. They've never heard broccoli scream, and I tell you, it does happen. That's I don't care what anybody says. Tim Ray is our guest, carnivoreclub.co. So beyond this month, have you decided what's going on into next as a little bit of a tease?
So this upcoming month for the, you know, getting delivered the first week of November is Smoking Goose Meadery. And then we have for December, we have the Angel Salumi out of San Francisco, which is that venison pepperoni, venison salami, a duck salami, and the white and the black truffle salami. So four different salamis. And then we shoot all the way across to Connecticut the first week of first month of the year of the new year with a really cool company called Danielle Foods, which makes a really artisanal line called Local, and all the pigs are sourced from the Northeast Coast. And there's going to be a lot of capicola and Italian style cured meats in that box.
Interesting. Well, make sure if you're listening, go check us out. Go to carnivoreclub.co, enter the promo code Wild Michigan for 15% off. And trust me, it's awesome stuff. You know, it's not that rip it off, chew it, and then slug your beer. This is something you're going to want to take your time with. Tim Ray, greatly appreciate your time here with us. Appreciate you sponsoring our podcast and being a part of Wild Michigan.
Thanks, Dan. I'm really happy to be part of the show.
Absolutely. Check them out, wildmichiganradio.com. A link to carnivoreclub.co. Enter the promo code WILDMICHIGAN, 15% off, and they're bringing you the podcast here on Wild Michigan. Appreciate you joining us. Thanks to Costa, HHA, Lucky Buck, also MUCC. Whole another hour coming your way next on the Michigan Talk Network.